Then Jason will have you sing for us number 422, yesterday, today, forever. That's going to be in our passage here. Well, let me just say hopefully. It'll be in our passage tonight. 422, yesterday, today, forever. Oh, how sweet the glorious message. 422 in the hymn book.
Which is taken up, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go. And he's coming back the same way. I'm thankful for that. He's not going to come back as some kind of contemporary figure, you know, with rock and roll music or something like that. No, 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 no. come back the same way he went away. And that's what we need today. I'm looking for him to come for us as the church, a rapture, and then, of course, 7 years later in the second coming. And he's going to be the same way he was when he left. As holy as he was when he left, he'll be holy still. All right, Jason. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Wow, can you believe we're coming down here to the end of the book here? Hebrews chapter 12, as we study verse by verse through this book, the book of Hebrews. Book of Hebrews. Now, we're going to start at verse 24 in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 24 down through the end of the chapter. And I just want to, before we read it and before I speak on it, I do just want to ask the Lord to help me to say the right things This passage has always been a difficult one to explain. And so I want to be able to do it right and say the right things as we look at these verses here tonight. Hebrews chapter 12, and we'll be starting verse 24. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we're looking at your word here tonight, and so we pray that you would give us understanding. May the Holy Spirit of God be our teacher and teach us the things out of thy holy word here tonight. Help me as I speak to say the right things and make it clear what it's saying. So guide us in our study here tonight. Be with each one. Help us to rejoice in the things we see in your word. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Verse 24. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Now, how about that passage of Scripture? Isn't that something to take a look at? Now, it starts out with verse 24, and to Jesus, because the passage we were looking at, starting at verse 18 down through 23, is a contrast between Mount Sinai and Mount Calvary, a contrast between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Contrast between Moses of the Old Testament and Jesus of the New Covenant, and how much better all these things are that we have come unto. And also verse 24, and to Jesus, the mediator of the New Covenant. And what we get in this whole passage here, and you see it in verse 25 there where it says, see that you refuse not him that speaketh. What we're getting here is a warning to the readers of the book of Hebrews, which would be primarily Jewish Christians of the first century. I'm talking about just after Jesus died on the cross, was buried, rose again, ascended back to heaven. Many Jews did trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Many Jews were thinking about trusting Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, but hadn't done so yet. Some of them were even thinking of turning back to the old way, to the priesthood, to the temple worship, the animal sacrifices. And instead of looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of their faith. I would say to you tonight, if you have not yet trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you've often thought about doing that and saying, you know, I really ought to take care of that matter. I have never asked the Lord Jesus Christ to be my Savior from my sin so that I might receive that promised gift of eternal life and a home in heaven and a new life to live in Christ. I'm going to do that tonight. I would encourage you, go ahead and do it. Don't turn back. Don't turn away from the cross and Jesus. There is no better salvation available to you. In fact, I'll say there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved than Jesus Christ. There is no other salvation. You can look at all the religions of the world and they don't have a message of salvation for sinful men. What they have is a message of try and be good, do nice, treat your neighbor good, and hopefully everything will turn out all right. It's pretty much what most of the religions of the world teach. There's only one faith that says you cannot save yourself no matter how hard you try, no matter how good you try to be, no matter how you try to pile up all good works as opposed to your bad things you've done. There is no way you can save yourself, and you need to come to someone who wants to save you. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he paid for it all on the cross of Calvary. Don't turn from that. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. So this passage tonight is a warning to not refuse Jesus. For those who refused Moses didn't get away with that. They didn't get away with that when they refused Moses. What do you think is going to happen if you refuse Jesus, who is so much better than Moses? You're in big trouble if you turn away from him. And Christian, who have already trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'm going to tell you this. That's the best thing you ever did in all your life, is to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Now, some of you might say, I don't know, marrying my wife was the greatest thing that ever happened to me. I'm going to tell you what. Coming to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior is greater than any other event in your whole life. And if you haven't done that yet, then you need to do that. If you've already done it, you need to rejoice in it. For Jesus Christ is that mediator of the new covenant. Verse 24, it does not say, and to Moses, the mediator of the new covenant. He's the mediator of the old covenant, which could never take away sin according to the book of Hebrews. That's what we've already learned. Could not take away sin. The blood of bulls and goats couldn't take away sin. The blood of Jesus is better. And so it says, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Now, Abel, his blood was shed at his brother's hands. Now, Abel brought a right sacrifice, a blood sacrifice unto the Lord to cover his sins. Cain brought fruits and vegetables, if you remember, the product of his own works and gardening and farming and so forth. And God was displeased with Cain's offering, but he wasn't displeased with Abel's. And because of that, Cain rose up in anger and slew his brother Abel. But who had the better sacrifice, Abel or Cain? I'm going to tell you, Abel had the better sacrifice. But you know what? There is even a better sacrifice than what Abel brought. And that is the blood of our own Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It speaketh better things than that of Abel. Now, no doubt about it, when we go back into that Old Testament and preach about Abel and the right offering that he brought and everything, we can talk about Jesus Christ because it points to Christ. It's a type of Christ. But I'm going to say, according to Hebrews, Jesus is the real thing. That's the real blood. It's the blood that matters, that came from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And to the blood of sprinkling, I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ took his literal blood. I don't know how he did that. I don't know how he does it. But I believe he took his blood, literally, right up into the presence of the Father and sprinkled it there on the mercy seat in heaven so that the Father would see the price was paid. Salvation is now available to all who would believe. And then he came back down to earth. That was shortly after his resurrection. And then he appeared unto his disciples, and the women were able to handle him and everything. But before that, he told them, no, don't handle me. I haven't gone to my Father yet. And I believe it was right then that he went to his Father, presented the blood, and then he came back down, presented himself alive unto his disciples so that they might know the greatness of the work that he did at the cross. And I would say the greatness of the work he did at the tomb by conquering the grave and rising up from it. And so verse 24 tells us, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Moses. Verse 25, after having said all these things, the writer of Hebrews puts this warning out. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, and I believe that's talking about Moses right there, who spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. And you go to the book of John and you hear in the Gospel of John how Jesus is the Son of God and how he came down from heaven. And he spake the words that his Father wanted him to speak here on earth. So he spake words from heaven to us here on this earth. Moses never did that. Moses spake to the people on earth the words that were handed to him on the tablets of stone. And he taught the people to keep the commandments. My Savior Jesus Christ came and said, I've kept the commandments for you. I've kept the whole law for you. No man can find anything wrong in me, any guile in me, any lying in me. No man could find anything wrong with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he spake words from heaven, words of salvation, words of grace and mercy. Whereas the law, the words there were, you don't do this, you're going to die. If you do this or that, you're going to be stoned to death. You can't do certain things on the Sabbath day. At the time when the law was given by Moses at the Mount Sinai there, the mount shook and trembled, and it was on fire as God appeared there and gave the law. And it was said, anyone who comes under the mountain, they'll be struck dead. I'm so glad that we have Mount Calvary on this side, where the one who came from heaven says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will save your lost soul. Come, as opposed to the law of Moses on Mount Sinai. Don't come. Stay back. You'll die if you touch the mountain. Here, you'll live if you touch the mountain. Here, by faith, come to Christ and you'll have everlasting life. So which would you rather have, the Old Testament or the New Testament? I'll take the New. Now, I'm not saying we throw away the Old. The Old tells us the preparation for Jesus to come. And there's many things we can teach and learn from the Old Testament. But I'm going to tell you what, I'm glad for the New Covenant. Now, be careful. Be careful, because if you refuse this Jesus, you're in big trouble. You'll not escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, verse 25 says. You know, this comes up in other places. Go back to chapter 2, verse 3. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3. These warnings are given throughout the book of Hebrews. Warnings to those, and I believe this would be to people who are thinking about trusting Christ but haven't done so yet. Don't turn away. And for those of you who have already trusted Christ, just be glad you didn't turn away from it, because there's no escape. All right, chapter 2, verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Chapter 6, verse 4. Chapter 6, verse 4. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away. So you have to connect that with the words, for it is impossible, if they shall fall away, verse 6, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. There's a warning. Don't turn away from the cross and salvation through Jesus Christ. If the Holy Spirit has done his work in bringing you to the cross and convicting you of sin and righteousness and judgment to come, and you turn your back on that cross and say to the Holy Spirit, I'll not have this, I don't want that, and you turn away, you may be in danger of being one of these of whom it is impossible to renew them unto repentance. It may be impossible, and only God knows this. I don't know this, but only God knows when he's already done everything that he can do to get you to see your need. If you reject it, you'll never be renewed again to that, because that would say what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross was not good enough. And that Jesus had to be crucified again for you because you're a special sinner. Oh no, there are no special sinners. We're all sinners. We're all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And God, with one sacrifice of his Son, provided forever the salvation that you need. And if you reject it, you may be one of these of whom it says it's impossible to renew them unto repentance. Kind of get what it's saying there? Also then go to chapter 10, verse 28. 10, verse 28. Warnings just put throughout the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 28 and 29. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. That's one of the aspects of the law. If someone did something wrong, if there were two or three witnesses, that would establish the truth. And when it was established, the judgment would be handed out. And you would die if you were found guilty of breaking the law. And it says, verse 29, though, of how much sorer punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. You know, if people died by despising Moses' law in the Old Testament, how much worse do you think it's going to be for those who despise what Christ has done? And done despite unto the Spirit of grace, who's been trying to convict you and get you to see, you need to trust this Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, I won't have anything to do with that. Oh, you're in big trouble. According to Hebrews, you're in big trouble. And how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy? You know, the punishment of hell, a lot of people just don't like it. In my song I sang about the drunkards and those who give the license in hell, they went down together. It's kind of a harsh, that's a rough song. That's a real strong-hitting song. And a lot of people like to sugarcoat hell a little bit. Not make it so harsh, crude. But my Bible says, you're worthy of it if you reject Jesus Christ and what he did for you at the cross. You're worthy of hell. Wow. All right, another place. Chapter 10, same chapter, but then verse 39. Go to the last verse of the chapter. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Amen. That's what happens when you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Your soul is saved. But if you don't, and you turn back from that message, perdition. And that's just another word for hellfire, going to hell, being lost forever. But we are not of them which draw back. See, they drew back away from the message of salvation. And when you do that, what happens? Perdition. Perdition's the result. Being lost. Hellfire. Forever outside of Christ. But we are them that believe to the saving of the soul. And it's your soul that needs to be saved, by the way. Now, he likes to save all of you. You know, the whole three parts of you, body, soul, and spirit. But be sure it's your soul for which he died. Because someday you're going to get a new body. If you're born again and trust the Lord, you're going to get a new body. You're not going to get a new soul. That soul has been redeemed and blood-bought by the Lord, and you and your soul and your new body and your new spirit will go to be with the Lord up there in heaven. So don't refuse Jesus. When those who refused Moses were in dire trouble, think of what it'll be if you reject Jesus, who is so much better than Moses. And so back now in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 26, now it's going to talk about something that was just mentioned in verse 25, where at the very end it says, if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Jesus spake words to us as he came from heaven and gave it to us in his earthly ministry, and it's found in the four Gospels. And then later on, the apostles expanded on those things that he said as well for us. So We're looking now at someone who spoke words from heaven. Verse 26 says, whose voice then shook the earth. And I believe the then refers back to the Old Testament time. Who was it that spoke there at Mount Sinai? I believe it was Jesus Christ speaking back then on the Mount to Moses, whose voice then shook the earth. And we remember all the details of Mount Sinai. It just shook. It trembled. It was on fire. And the voice of the Lord was heard there. But verse 26, then, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also what? Heaven. I'm not going to just shake earth this time. I'm going to shake heaven as well. All of the earth and heaven itself is going to be shook by the voice of the Lord as he speaks the words that he's brought to us. He's going to shake the earth again. And then in verse 27, he expands on it. And this word, yet once more. He's referring back to verse 26 where it says, yet once more, I shake not the earth only, like I did at Mount Sinai. But I'm also going to shake heaven. This thing's going to be big when I speak again. And it's a speaking in a time of judgment is what it is. For those who have rejected the good news. And he says in verse 27, and this word, yet once more. What is it? Okay, so what about that yet once more? It signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. I want to just take you to some Old Testament scriptures because this is not something new that Hebrews is talking about. The prophets of the Old Testament spoke of another day when the Lord's going to shake both earth and heaven together. Now they already saw him on Mount Sinai shake the mountain. This same God who gave the law is going to someday shake both earth and the heavens as well. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2. Just want you to see the prophets talked about this. Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 19 through 22. This kind of goes along with the things that I sang in my song tonight. They cried for the rocks and the mountains. Okay, look. And they shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty when he ariseth to shake terribly the earth. He's going to shake the earth again someday. In that day a man shall cast his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they have made each one for himself to worship, to the moles and to the bats. Here, take my idols. They're worthless. In the face of this one who's shaking terribly the earth. Verse 21. To go into the clefts of the rocks and into the tops of the ragged rocks for the fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty when he ariseth to shake terribly the earth. Cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted of? The Isaiah says the Lord's going to shake the earth again someday. Now, go to Ezekiel 38, just to the right a little bit in your Bible, to Ezekiel, go through Jeremiah, come to Ezekiel, go to chapter 38, verses 19 through verse 20. Ezekiel 38, 19. For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath have I spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel, so that the fishes of the sea and the fowls of the heaven and the beasts of the field and all creeping things that creep upon the earth and all men that are upon the face of the earth shall shake at my presence. And the mountains shall be thrown down and the steep places shall fall and every wall shall fall to the ground. When the Lord does a great shaking in the land of Israel, even the birds in the heavens are going to feel it. And that's what he's saying over here. Not just the earth, but the heavens also are going to be shook. Keep going to the right to the small book of Joel. You'll see Daniel, Hosea. Joel comes after that. Joel chapter 3 and verse 16. Joel 3 verse 16. Joel says this. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion, that's Jerusalem, and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake. But the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. Amen. For those who are the children of God, that shaking won't bother you, but it will bother the rest of the people on this earth. Keep going to the right till you come to Haggai. You go through several of the minor prophet books. You might see Habakkuk there, Zephaniah. After Zephaniah and before Zechariah, there's a little book tucked in there named Haggai. Haggai, chapter 2 and verse 6. You're going to see that this is the actual verse that the writer of Hebrews is quoting from when he says, I will shake not the earth only, but also the heaven. Look at Haggai chapter 2, verse 6. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once, it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. But Haggai talks about a coming day when the Lord is going to shake both earth and heaven and all the nations of the world in his wrath and anger in that day. So don't turn away from Jesus Christ, who wants to save you. For if you do, you're going to be facing this one who, yes, spoke way long time ago in Mount Sinai when he gave the law, and he shook that earth. He's going to someday shake both the earth and heaven, and all the nations are going to be shook by the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't turn away from the cross. That's the warning there. Don't turn away from that. Jesus will shake the earth again, and perishable things are going to be removed to make way for eternal things. That's what I believe it's talking about in verse 27. And this word yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wow. You know, there's a lot of things that are going to perish away when the Lord shakes terribly the earth. All the works of men are going to perish. All the religions of men are going to perish and be of no value to them. In fact, they'll cry out for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them. They'll throw all their idols to the moles and to the bats and say, here, you take these things. And he's going to shake terribly the earth, and those perishable things, things which are not going to remain, are going to be lost forever. Things which men hold on to with all their might. Their money is going to be gone. Their fame and their greatness is going to be gone in that day. Just like the song I sang here tonight. And oh, what a weeping and wailing when the lost are told of their fate. Who's going to tell them this? The one who's going to shake heaven and earth. And I'm going to tell you who it is. It's Jesus Christ. They're going to face him someday. Don't turn from him. What he did for you on the cross, accept it. Go right on through the cross by faith and enjoy eternal life. And enjoy the things that are going to remain after Jesus shakes terribly this earth. I'm going to tell you what, there are some things that are going to remain. Salvation is going to remain. We're forever saved. And though God and Jesus Christ is going to shake terribly this earth, guess what? I'm still going to be saved. That's not going away. The religions of men, there's a way that seemeth right unto men, but the end thereof is the way of destruction. They're going to go away. But the way of everlasting life is going to stay. The promise of a home in heaven is going to stay. People on earth, they're going to lose their home. Oh, inhabitants of the earth. Remember we said that this morning in the book of Revelation? Oh, ye inhabitants of the earth. They're going to lose their earth. Go with me to Revelation chapter 21. You'll see this. It's clear. Things which are going to perish away are going to go away when God, Jesus Christ, shakes terribly the earth. But there are going to be some things that are going to remain forever. Look at this. Revelation 21 verse 1. And I saw a what? And a what? New heaven and new earth. For, look what happened. The first heaven and the first earth were passed away. When God shakes terribly the earth, that's what's going to happen. And there was no more sea. Wow. But a new heaven and a new earth will take its place. And that will never be shaken, never perish, never go away. It will remain, as Hebrews chapter 13, verse 27 says, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. And here's something else that can't be shaken. Jesus Christ himself, yesterday, today, and forever. He's going to shake terrible. Oh, he might kill himself. No, don't worry about that. He's the one doing the shaking. And guess who's going to be there when the shaking's all done? The one who did the shaking. And he's going to be there forever and ever. I'm going to a place where I'm going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ forever. I'm going to be with him. He's going to be with me. And we're going to have fellowship for all eternity. And you know what? That's true for me personally, as well as for each and every one of you who know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. We're all a child of God. And it's very interesting. He loves every one of his children. He listens to every one of his children. And I have to say this, like the song we've heard sung here before. When I want to talk to the Father, guess what? I never have to stand in line. And neither do you. Now, I don't understand that, you know. I never have to stand in line. He's always available there for me and for you and you and you and you and everybody who's saved. What a wonderful God we serve. And when he's done shaking this earth, that will remain. What? The Lord Jesus Christ himself will remain. Perishable things will be removed to make way for eternal things. Another place, go to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. 2 Peter 3, verse 10. 2 Peter 3, verse 10. I'm going to read several verses here, so take a look at this. It's talking about this day of the Lord when he's going to shake terribly the earth. Chapter 3 of 2 Peter. So you got to get 1 Peter, then 2 Peter, chapter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. And that's what Hebrews says. It's going to be shaken. And the things that aren't going to remain are going to be taken away. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we who have already trusted Christ and gone through the cross and the gospel message by faith, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for something that's going to remain. Look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And the exhortation is this: if we know these things are going to happen, the Lord who saved us, the better Savior than Aaron and the sacrifices. If the Lord who saved us is going to shake terribly the earth and give us a new heaven and a new earth to dwell in forever, what kind of persons ought we to be now as we live out our lives? And that's, go back to Hebrews and we'll finish with this. We'll just close this up here tonight. In chapter 12, verse 28. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, after the shaking's done, the kingdom of the Lord's going to be there forever. Let us have grace. Undeserved favor from God. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. It's just like what Peter just got done saying in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 13. Seeing then that these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought we to be? Same thing's being said here. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Notice, and I'm not going to preach on this right now, but just take a look at some of the verses in chapter 13. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers. Remember them that are in bonds. Verse 4, marriage is honorable in all and bed undefiled. Let your conversation be without covetousness. 6, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what men will do. 7, remember them which have the rule over you. Your preachers. that's a self-serving verse for me, right? Say, you remember me, right? And also go over to verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves unto them. So, because we are going to go into a new heaven and a new earth which cannot be shaken and will remain forever and ever, what manner of persons ought we to be now in this world existence which is going to be shook and dissolved away? Don't be living for this world as a Christian. Like Jason sang the song, I don't want to be adjusted to the world. Right? Isn't that how it goes?
I don't want to get adjusted.
Yeah, I don't want to get adjusted. No. I want to get adjusted to a new heaven and a new earth. And I need to live like as if I'm already living in that new heaven and new earth. I need to live now like what I've been promised I'm going to be like someday in the heavens. Well, there you go, folks. That's that passage there. I can remember reading that passage when I was younger, a younger child. I was saved when I was 10 years old, and I just remember reading some of these things, and I say, what is that talking about? What is that saying? And I just thank God for the Holy Spirit of God who teaches us the Word of God and helps us to understand these things. So I hope it's been helpful to you tonight to take a look at these things. If you're saved, you ought to be the most glad, like we sang, say, but I'm glad, I'm glad. You know, and if you're not saved, don't put it off another moment. If you're listening to me on the internet, right where you're at, accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior right now. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And you'll have these things which cannot be shaken and dissolved and moved away. And you'll have a new life by the grace of God to live for His honor and glory. Do that right now as you're listening to this message. And those of you here, I hope that it's been a help to you. It's just good to be saved, isn't it? Isn't it good to be saved? Don't you just love God's word also? I think it's a wonderful thing. All right, Jason, how about you come? Let's take our chorus book and close with this song, He is all I need. He is all I need, all that I need. Jesus is all I need. We'll stand and sing this. If you need help to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, just step forward. It's number 83 in the chorus book. And if you need help to trust Christ as Savior, just meet me down the front here. We'll have someone help you trust Christ as Savior. If you're on the internet listening in, let us know. Send us an email. Our address is right on our website there. Let us know that you got saved or you need help to get saved. We'd be glad to help you the best we can. All right, let's stand here and sing, He is all I need. hacking and coughing away. He doesn't have anything that's catching. It's his sinuses. He was out in the woods yesterday, and it just really messed him up. I'm going to pray for my grandson, and you pray for him too if you think he sounds like he's having a hard time with this, okay? And looking forward to seeing you all here Wednesday night. We're going to have a Thanksgiving Eve service. Come on out and be here. Bring some dessert with you, and we'll all eat it together. And we'll have a good service at 7 o'clock Wednesday night. Song service, testimony time. You know, Thanksgiving's a great holiday. And let's just have a good time together as a family of God here, right here at Ray Street Baptist Church this Wednesday night. Okay, let's pray. Our Father, thank you for the Bible. How wonderful it is. Thank you for our Savior, Jesus Christ. How good he is. Oh, but he's going to shake terribly the earth someday. So men and women and boys and girls need to be saved. I pray for my grandson. You help him to feel better and get over this. And any others who may not be feeling well here tonight, you give health and strength to them and keep us safe as we go our way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.